Miss Trish.
Oh.
That was for Trish. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms here today. I feel already so blessed watching the babies get dedicated and hearing from Garrett and Sean. But if you're here today, we just really, really love our moms, and we really honor you. You know, there's something about the name mom, right, that we can all relate to. So here's a definition I got from a parenting magazine. It says, the meaning of being a mother is virtually endless. A mother is a protector, a disciplinarian, and friend. A mother is a selfless, loving human who must sacrifice many of their wants and needs for the wants and needs of their children. A mother works hard to make sure their children is equipped with knowledge, skills, and ability to make it a competent human being. Being a mother is perhaps the hardest, most rewarding job a woman will experience. So a name means something, right? When Barry and I chose names for our three children, it was for a specific reason. Our oldest daughter is named Mindy Kimberly. Her name means love from the royal fortress. If you know Mindy, she's loving and she's caring, and everything she has and does, she knows where it comes from, right? It comes from the Lord. And then we have Megan Sarah. Megan's name means great princess. And if you know Megan, her name also means pearl, and she is a rarity, right? She's outside the box, and we are just so proud of her. And our beloved son, right, is Matthew Jonathan. Yeah. And we named that's him. And we named Matthew that. His name means gift from the Lord. And Barry and I were so proud of Matt because we really see God using his gifts in the marketplace. He is a math teacher in the day, and then he tutors all the way during the night. And we just see how he just loves on his kids. So this morning, we're going to look at one mom in the Bible. And her name is Jochebed. You know, during Bible times, names really meant something. They were so important, much more than they are today. Names not only designated who the person was, but it had traits and purposes that was going to follow them the rest of their life. Jochebed's name means the glory of God, and his glory was all over her life. She was a remarkable mom. So you might be thinking, Dale, Jochebed? I haven't really heard of her. But if I tell you her son's name, you're going to know him in an instant. Her son was Moses. Jochebed was a remarkable mom, right? They always say behind every hero, there's a great mom. So this was her. And it's because of her life that Moses was even alive. So let me open up in a word of prayer. So Father, we love our moms in this building today. And my prayer is just that your Holy Spirit will just touch each mom and each person in our auditorium this day. You know what each person walked in with, Lord. So I pray that whatever they walked in with that they're carrying, that you touch them, Lord, in your name. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we start, I have a special high school senior who is going to share about her beloved mother. So we're going to call up Sydney Lee. Woo!
Hi, I'm Sydney. I'm a senior, and I'm going to be talking about my mom, the Sharon Lee. And if you don't know my mom is a kindergarten teacher. She bakes a really good apple pie. And she's just the best mom, obviously. So this is a surprise. So hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. But something that I appreciate about my mom is that she's really selfless. And whether that's getting up early to prep ingredients to make bread with her students at school, whether that's making me and my siblings lunches, or whether that's going out to get a birthday card for her coworkers, she always does it with a happy heart, and she's always looking for ways that she can love people very intentionally. And I think that's something that has always been an inspiration to me and something that I try to carry out in my life. And then one of my favorite things to do with my mom is we have this thing and we call it our 10 p.m. ideas. And they're basically things that we decide at 10 p.m. that we want to do. And then we stay up all night trying to complete our task. And this started when I was in fifth grade. And we decided that we were going to make Star Wars cookies for May the 4th. And we didn't start this idea until 10 p.m. And because we're stubborn, or in our family, we like to say persevering, we didn't finish these cookies until 12, but we knew that we wanted to get our job done. So we did that. And there's many other instances where we'll start our teacher appreciation gifts at 10 p.m. or we'll decide we're going to bake brownies at 10 p.m. But those are some of my favorite memories with my mom. And to me, what being a mom is somebody who does 5,000,100 things but thinks they're just doing the usual. And I think, like, when people would come up to my mom and say, oh my gosh, you take all three of your kids to Disneyland alone, or oh my gosh, you made this, or you do this every Saturday, I think that's just a mom being her extraordinary self. So to all the moms today, thank you for being your extraordinary self. Happy Mother's Day. And to my mom, I love you tons, and I can't wait to cook up another 10 p.m. idea.
Thank you, Sydney. It's such a blessing to hear about Sharon. We all love Sharon so much. And I love that 10 p.m. habit. That'd be too late for me. But I love that that's yours. Okay, so this morning, you guys, to learn about Jochebed, you can, if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Exodus 2. And we're going to look at verse 1 to 10, or you can look at it up there. Okay, so here we go. Exodus 2, we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. It says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. So this Levite woman, this passage is Jochebed, and her husband is Amram. The Levite tribe is a significant tribe in Israel. They followed after God. So this signifies to us that Moses had godly parents. And we don't see their name in this verse, but we do see it in Numbers 26:59. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. So Jochebed became pregnant with her third child during a very difficult time. So what's happening in the chapter prior in Exodus 1, the Israelites are growing in numbers, and they're being slaves in Egypt. So Pharaoh, the current Pharaoh at the time, he feels threatened by all these Israelites because he feels that if somebody wages war against the Egyptians, that the Israelites are just going to jump ship and side with them. So because of this, he makes a law. He says, all the Hebrew baby boys that are born have to be killed. When the midwives refuse to do this because they honor God, another law goes out. Anybody could throw the Hebrew baby's boys in the Nile River to drown. Can you imagine being pregnant at this time? You're a Hebrew woman, and if you deliver a baby boy, he would have to be killed. They didn't have ultrasounds back then, so Jochebed had no idea if she was going to have a boy or a girl. She already had Miriam, who was about 9, and Aaron, who was about 3. This law did not exist when they were born. The end of verse 2 says, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him. Fine in the Bible means good or beautiful. Moses was a beautiful baby. God anointed his appearance. He carried something special that his mother could detect. Verses 3 and 4. But when she could hide him no longer, right, because he was getting bigger, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sisters stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Moms, can you fathom giving up your three-month-old baby after you've carried him in you for 9 months and gave birth and held him and rocked him and fed him and stayed up countless nights? I mean, by that time, you're so attached, and then you have to let him go. But Jochebed, out of love, comes up with a faith plan. She uses the same tar and pitch that Noah did to build the ark, and she puts him in the basket. She lets him go down the Nile with his older sister Miriam to keep an eye. Hebrews 11, 23 to 24 says this: by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The writer of Hebrew writes, by faith, Moses' parents hid him. And now we see by faith, Jochebed places him in the water because he's no ordinary child. We make decisions every day for our children. If you think back to your past week, how many decisions did you make that were faith-based, or how many decisions that you made were made out of fear? Both Jochebed and Amram, they feared the God of heaven more than the current king on earth. Verses 5 and 6. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Jochebed was strategic. She knew the Nile River was a place that the Egyptian royalty bathed. They worshiped the gods of the Nile. They felt like if they were swimming in it, they would have healing and long life. She had a sense to put her baby in it and hope that somebody would believe the gods of the Nile brought in this beautiful baby. God's timing is upon each sequence of events. Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket, they open it, she sees the baby, she hears him cry, and immediately she feels compassion. You know, the princess would have grown up to hate the Hebrew people like her father taught her to. But at this moment, God turns her heart to mercy. Verses 7 to 9. Then a sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, this is Miriam, running up to the princess, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. God blesses Jochebed's act of faith. Not only is baby Moses safe, but his own mother gets him back for 3 to 5 years, and she gets to nurse him. She gets to care for him. She gets to teach him everything she can in that small amount of time, right, about creation, about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and about the deliverance of Joseph during his prime formative years, and she gets paid. So even though Pharaoh was using the Nile River for death, God was using those waters for life. Verse 10, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So Moses becomes part of the Egyptian royal family, and God starts his plan of rescuing his people from Egypt. So what three things can we learn from Jochebed's life? The first thing that we can learn that really touched me is we have no ordinary child. Moms, when your kids are born, you are the first ones to see their specialness. You know, Jochebed knew Moses was extraordinary. She saw his beauty. She sensed his destiny, and she didn't give up on him. God wants us to continually, through all the ages and decades, to see our children with his eyes. You know, when they're young, gosh, it's easy to see their greatness, right? You think they're the cutest, they're the smartest, they're the wittiest, and they should be because they belong to you. But as time goes by and sometimes the decades roll around, sometimes you get disappointed in their actions, their choices, and their behaviors, and it could get you down. But we have to remember to continually to ask the Lord to help us to see each special child with his eyes. You know, living in the world that we live in, the world is going to tell your kids that they're not special. It's going to tell them they're not good enough, that they need to compare themselves, they need to be perfect, they don't measure up, they need to live in fear. But as moms, we have to counter that. You know, so a day after Easter, I went walking at a park. Okay, there's a favorite park I have in Cerritos. But I noticed when I started walking, every 25 feet, they had 10 different sayings that somebody wrote in chalk. And they were all negative about body image. So I'm going to give you one example, and then you're going to know the other nine sounded just the same. So one sentence said, "Look in the mirror, you fatso." So I'm reading that, and I'm like, no, no, no. I learned at Catalyst my identity. I am not picking that up. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, like Psalm 139. And then the next time I made the lap, I saw all the chalk writings, and I didn't want to look at it, but sometimes I started gravitating to it. Because that's what negativity does. It starts to draw you in. So the next day I was walking with a friend and I was telling her, oh my gosh, look at that chalk writing there. I was telling her how bothered I was. And so we decided to try to scrub it off with our tennis shoe and it wouldn't come out. So I was like, I think we need water. And she's like, I got a water bottle in my car. So the second lap we went around and we knew we only had this much water, right? So we purposely only did it on the words that weren't good. Right? And I was just thinking, right, this is a job of a mom. All through the decades, it does not matter how old your child gets, they're going to come to you with how they're doing, right? We're going to hear what they're saying, what's in their heart, right? Because they say whatever's in your heart flows out in speech. And so whenever they say something that you know is not right, that that's not how the Lord sees them, you can replace that lie, right, and then give it with God's truth. And I even do that with my kids today, right? So in one of our small groups, we just finished doing a parenting curriculum called Parenting Getting It Right, right? In one of the chapters, they talked about positive, negative words. We've all heard the stats. They say for every negative comment somebody makes to you, it takes 5 to 9 positive comments to counterbalance it. Well, it was saying this has to do with marriage and marketplace, not with our children. So if it's our children and they hear a negative sentence or phrase, it's going to take more than 9 positive comments to counterbalance that. Because negative words weigh more than positive ones. So Jochebed, man, she had 5 years to just speak God's truth into Moses and give him a sure, solid foundation. So moms, each of our kids, they are extraordinary. Build them up. Your voice matters, and it matters more than other voices. And the second thing we can learn from Jochebed's life in the scripture is when we parent, it's not all up to us. You know, moms, we all know this. Sometimes you just feel the weight of the world on you when you parent. But God partners with us. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul's speaking, this is what he says. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. In this verse, Paul said, he planted the seed of the gospel in people's heart, but Apollos came and watered it, meaning he strengthened their faith. But God ultimately came and caused it to grow. That's what God does when we parent. You know, when our children are young, we have a big role to play. Their hearts are impressionable. Their hearts are like wet cement. Use these years for your advantage. Jochebed, like we said, she only had 3 to 5 years to make a difference in Moses' life, right? Before he was going to live in a pagan palace, be trained by the Egyptians. Jochebed used her years wisely. And our children's basket is eventually going to float and navigate to other people who God thinks they're going to need at that season of their life. And, you know, sometimes for me being a mom, like, I like to feel like I can meet all my kids' needs, right? Like, all they need is mom, well, and Barry, and dad. But it's just, I feel like that. But then I just realized over the years, like, I'm their mother. I'm not their savior. So if my kid's basket goes and floats to somebody else, I have to be okay with that. You know, when I think about my own life, right, like, pretend I'm in a basket, and then my basket floats to other people, and God uses other people to speak life into me and help watch me. So our baskets float to other people as well. And at the same time, other baskets will float to us that we might need to pick up and carry and mentor. So Jochebed gave her son roots. Other people came in as well to help, right? He had a princess for his mom. But God's the one that came in and gave Moses his wings and helped him to soar. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. So just like God was Moses' wings and he helped him fly, he does that for each of us and our children as well. So moms, man, God is going to use you. But just know, it is not all up to you. He will bring other people to help your children navigate. And ultimately, God's the one that causes all the growth. And the third thing that we can learn from Jochebed's life to bless all of us today is let the baskets go. Parenthood is a constant process of letting go and releasing our children in faith. Jochebed loved her son enough to make a basket, place him in it, put him in the water, float him out. She didn't know where he ended up, but she knew that she could trust God. Today, we can bathe our baskets that carry what we care about most, right, with prayer and with scripture and knowing that God knows where they're going to go to next. And we can do this because God understands. He let his one and only son, Jesus, go on the cross to die for our sins so we could have eternal life. He had to let him go. So he knows what it's like. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't done first. So many times, moms, right, we have to release through all the stages. When they start preschool, we have to let the baskets go. When they start kindergarten, we have to let the baskets go. When they're in grade school and junior high and high school, we have to let the baskets go. When they're in high school and they graduate and they go on their first date, we have to let the baskets go and not follow them, right? When they go to college and they move out, you have to let the baskets go, right? When they get married, you have to let the baskets go. Like, releasing is part of a mom's job. So look what happened to Jochebed's three children. For Moses, my favorite part is he was the most humble person to walk on the planet, right? He saved the Israelites from slavery, parted the Red Sea, and then her son Aaron was the head of the priests, and then he was Moses' spokesperson, and the sister Miriam, she's a worshiper, right? And then it said she was a prophetess. She spoke for God as well. Her three children helped lead Israel. So moms, whenever you had a week that's hard, right, with your kids, just tell yourself, let the baskets go. It just means letting it go and trusting God with it. It doesn't mean you don't care about the basket. That's what you love the most, but that you're just going to trust God with it. So right now, that's the end of my message. We're going to do gift time. This is a favorite thing at Catalyst. So can I have all the moms and our mentor moms and our spiritual moms stand up? And then if I could have the worship team come forward. All right. Okay, so all the moms that are standing up, we're going to have the men, they're coming and they're going to give you a gift. And if you could just still stay standing because I want to pray a prayer over you as well, okay? And again, you guys, our gifts are done with love from Belinda Gonzalez. She always prays about what gift to gift us. I really thank Belinda every year. So, you guys could pass it out. Yeah, and then I'll say a prayer once everybody's holding it. And I see people opening it, so you're welcome to open it. And then I'll pray for you once I think the men are done, okay? Okay, I'm going to say a prayer over the mom, but I think Belinda chose different devotional books, and I think there's 10 different kinds, okay? All right, so I'm going to pray over the moms right now and our spiritual moms as well. Father, thank you for Mother's Day, all these women, Lord, that are standing right now. Man, Lord, they are loved. They are seen. They are no ordinary mom. They are precious for the kids that are gifted and given to them. And may each of these moms know that they don't have to do it on their own, that God is going to bring other people to them, and ultimately he is going to be the wind underneath the wings. And all of us moms know that our baskets with our kids are the most precious things in our lives. So Lord, anytime we worry, may we just let the baskets go, and knowing that you will catch us and you will catch them. But Lord, man, bless each of these moms. May they fill your heart. May we end in worship to the Most High King. But may your love go to each one, and may they feel your love and destiny over their life. And we pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.